As we prepare our hearts for our time in God's Word this morning, let's just take a few moments just to hear from the Apostle Paul this prayer that he prays, and then let us take some time to pray silently before the Lord, to let go of all those things that have hindered us this week, the sins that so easily have entangled us, and let us begin to fix our eyes on Jesus this morning. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God in Christ Jesus, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Let us take a few moments just to pray this morning quietly before our great and awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for the quietness, the stillness. There are very few places in our lives where we can just be still and know that you are God. And it is a privilege to be able to do that together today as members of your forever family. We know, Lord, in the book of Revelation, there's that beautiful little phrase that says there was silence in heaven. And Lord, we know that when there is silence, that we can expect that you are up to something, that you are ready to speak loud and clear. And so, Lord, as we have silenced our hearts before you, as we have quieted our minds before you, Lord, we thank you now that we are ready to hear you speak to us. May your Holy Spirit lead us into this time of studying your word so that we might be able to draw from it that life-giving truth that just nourishes our souls and just helps us, Lord, to be able to find that strength each day to be able to be who you have called us to be, who you say we are, your dearly loved children, your forever family, your body, the body of Christ. So, Lord, lead us now into this time. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Our unofficial theme this year at the church for our teaching and everything that we're up to this year, I say unofficially because it hasn't really been adopted by everyone on leadership, but we haven't really talked about it as an official theme, but it's my official, unofficial theme for this year. Let's put it that way, okay? This is at the beginning of the year, I did an exercise to kind of think of a phrase or a word that would characterize this year for me as your pastor. And what the Spirit of God laid on my heart was this phrase, building community inside and out. Building community inside and out. So for me, that's kind of been the unofficial theme for what we're doing on the first Sunday of each month this year. As we have our table talk series has been focused on bodybuilding, building up the body of Christ. And so the focus that we've had this year so far, as we have looked at this bodybuilding theme, has really been all about getting to know what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And Mark Dever has said this. He said, when a person becomes a Christian, he or she doesn't just join a local church because it's a good habit for growing in spiritual maturity. He says, no, they join a local church because it's the expression of what Christ has made them to be, a member of the body of Christ. See, that's who we are collectively, as those who've been called out by God, set apart, those who have received Christ, and we have now become part of the body of Christ. And so it's important for us, for all of us, as we come together in community around this table this morning and each first Sunday of the month, that we understand who we are as the body of Christ. And that's what we've been looking at these first few months of the year. I wasn't here last first Sunday, the last month, but for the first 3 months, we've looked at Bodybuilding 101, Bodybuilding 102, and Bodybuilding 103. And each of those has helped us to understand what it means to be part of the body of Christ. So we're just going to give a little bit of a recap, and then we're going to move into where we're going to go today. Because I think it's important for us to understand the foundation that we've laid so far, because as we go over the next few first Sundays of the month, the next few months, we're going to go deeper. We're going to go a little deeper into each of these first three things. So what is the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So what is the body? We looked at the body is a unit, a community of believers where God lives by his Spirit. That's the simple definition. The body of Christ is also an interconnected diversity with mutually dependent and indispensable parts. You know, each one of us is dependent on each other, and we are indispensable. None of us, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, none of us can say to each other, we don't need you. We need each other. That's all part of being the part of what the body of Christ is. It's an interconnected diversity. And the body of Christ is also God's personal masterpiece. You know, God is creator, right, of everything, creator of the universe, and a masterful creator. It's like a beautiful painter of beautiful sceneries and beautiful, beautiful things, the universe. Yet one of his most beautiful creations is you and me. Each one of us is part of God's unique design and purpose for his church. That's you and me. This is what it means, what the body of Christ is. It's a unity. It's an interconnected diversity. It's the body of Christ is God's personal masterpiece. That was bodybuilding 101. Bodybuilding 102 was this. How does the body of Christ, how do we begin to express ourselves in the world? Well, we begin to exercise the body. And how do we do that? Well, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You know, that what that indicates to me is that each one of us has been given unique spiritual gifts. And because God has given us unique spiritual gifts, we all have a responsibility to know what those gifts are and then to begin to use them. You know, for a body to be functional and not disabled, the parts need to work and work together. And so we have been given, each of us, unique spiritual gifts. But not only that, we've also been given a unique role to fulfill in building up and supporting each other in the body of Christ and to do the work that God has prepared in advance for us to do together. We all have a unique role. We have a responsibility to know and be growing into that role that we've been given in the body. Rick Warren says this about this reality. He says, only you can be you. God designed each one of us so there would be no duplication in the world. No one has the exact same mix of factors that make you unique. That means no one else on earth will ever be able to play the role God planned for you. If you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made. See? You know, that's what it means to exercise the body, right? We went over that ground a couple of months ago. Just want to remind you of that, though, because each one of us, and you know, this was so amazing yesterday. I was going to wait to say thank you later on, but I think we need to say it today, right here, right now. For all those who came out yesterday to do the cleaning bee here at the church, there were, I think John counted over 25 or 20 people that came yesterday to help out in cleaning the building, looking out after stuff outside. You know, doesn't the outside of the building today look really amazing? Like the creek bed and the gardens and I know, Barb, that makes you feel good. The gardens got looked after this year. But you know what? It takes something. Everybody has their role to play in the body, even when it comes to cleaning up the building. We all have our role, and if we don't take up our role, you're the only one that can do that role. Exercising the body. Bodybuilding 103 was the purpose of the body. And so when we began to look at this, we looked at the fact that together we are to be an expression of Christ's love in the world. That's, you know, that's the, in a nutshell, that's what the purpose of the body is to be an expression of Christ's love in the world, to bring the gospel to the world, to show the love of Christ, for God so loved the world, right? And so the purpose of the body is to create, our purpose is to create a loving, safe community where everyone is accepted for who they are and who they're not. Isn't that what the body of Christ is meant to be? A loving, safe community where we watch out for one another, where we care for one another. When we get upset with one another or we take offense with one another, we don't just sit in it and stew in it like, one of the instructors in one of the programs I was in a while back said, you know, you can sit in your poopy diaper or you can do something about it. You can get along with one another. You can, you know, all through the, you know, Paul's instruction to the church, to the body of Christ, he says, you know, get along with other. Don't grumble and complain about each other. Come together. And Jesus said, if you have something against your brother or sister, before you go and offer anything on the altar, go and get right with them. That's what, you know, creating a loving, safe community is all about. Expressing the love of Christ in the world. And that's, you know, part of that, what that's all about too, is that together we are to promote the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As much as it depends on you and on me, we're to live at peace with each other. And that takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of letting go so that we can come together as the body of Christ, to be a community where we seek the mind of Christ and live in peace and harmony that impacts the world around us. You know, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3:3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what we've been called to. That's what one of our main purposes is. That's, you know, to be salt, the preserving agent in the world, and light, the illuminating agent in the world. That's who we are. That's who we've been called to be. That's what our purpose is. And David Jeremiah says this. He says, the only way the corporate body of Christ will fulfill the mission that Christ has given it is for individual Christians to have a vision for fulfilling that mission personally. Now, we are the body of Christ, yes. But we really, you know, cannot fulfill this purpose if we are working at cross purposes with one another. If in our hearts we're not able to live at peace with our brothers and sisters. So it takes something of us personally, to be able to fulfill this mission. And that's where we're going to start to go over these next few months. Because it's one thing to know about the body of Christ. It's another thing to know about what we're supposed to be doing and what our purpose is. But then it always comes down to you and me. Right? How are we going to be part of this body? And for us to be able to be a part of the body, we really need to know who we are. Personally, who we are as a member of the body of Christ. And so bodybuilding 201, 202, 203 is going to go in this direction over the next couple months. Well, today we're looking at knowing who I am. Next month, knowing who we all are together as the body of Christ. And then in a couple months, knowing our world around us. Knowing our world around us. Knowing what is who are the people out there? You know, if we know who we are, and we know who we are together, and we know who the world are out there around us, then, well, we can become even more missional together as the body of Christ. So, are you ready for the journey? Ready? Do I see some yeses? Some heads shaking? Yes? Already. All right. Well, let's move forward then into Bodybuilding 201, knowing who we are. You know, today as we're starting with this, knowing who we are as members of the body of Christ, you know, it's a good place to start. It really is. For if we're going to be a member of the body of Christ, we should at least understand who we are in Christ. Does that make sense? Make sense? Okay, so let's talk about who you are and who I am as a member of the body of Christ. Who do you say that you are?
A child of God.
Okay, you're a child of God. That was an easy one from earlier in the morning, right? We sang about that one, yeah. Who are you? Who are we as members of the body of Christ?
A royal priesthood.
We are a royal priesthood. Okay, we're really getting some scriptures that are memorized here, right? As well, we're a royal priesthood. What else?
Sinners saved by grace.
We're sinners saved by grace. Who are we as the body of Christ? Or who are we in the body of Christ? What else? Is that all?
Hands and feet of Jesus.
Come on. Image bearers. That's a good one. Image bearers. Image bearers of God. Yeah, we're a reflection. Yeah. We're his ambassadors. Okay. What else? What else do we know about who we are? Or, you know, I'll use the other word, identity. What's our identity? Our identity as a child of God, someone in the body of Christ. What is our identity?
We are worshipers of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, worshipers of the Lord Jesus. So would that mean that we're spirit empowered, or, you know, the Spirit of God wants us, yields, brings us towards him? Yeah, what else?
Made alive.
We are made alive in Christ. What else? I'm really pushing it this morning because this is so crucial. It's so important for us. You know, if we're going to be the body of Christ, we need to know who we are. Witnesses.
I often feel like I'm the weakest link.
Okay. Okay. You know, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about those parts of the body that are weaker or more modest and but they're still essential. What else do we know about our identity in Christ?
We're chosen.
Chosen by him. Ooh, what does that bring to mind about our identity? Chosen.
He's always there for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Woven together by him.
Sorry?
Woven together by him.
Yeah, we're very unique. We're parts of the body that are like a tapestry woven together. Okay, what else? I'm thinking about us individually now. What is there? Anything else? Well, these okay.
That we're set
We are set free. Yeah. Yeah. Ken.
I would describe us essentially as the restored image bearers of our Creator.
Restored image bearers of our Creator. That goes right back to Genesis, doesn't it? It goes right back to Genesis because we, you know, the image of God, He created us to bear that image. Male and female, He created them in the image of God. And as those who have inherited the fall, you know, what took a hit? What took a real big hit when sin entered the world? Well, the image of God that is in you and in me. It got covered over by all kinds of garbage and crap. And, oh, can you say the word crap in church? Sorry. But it got covered. But now we've been set free. The image of God in you and me has been set free because of who Christ is. Yeah. Well, you know, just keep thinking about those things, okay? Like, and you know, who are we? What is our identity in Christ? You know, this is, you know, this exercise has been about who do we say that we are? All right? How well do we know ourselves in Christ? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul, when he was reflecting on this, you know, this is what he says, you know, here in chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect." You know, I have loved that verse for so long. And when I came across that one, I just realized, wow, isn't that amazing? To be able to say, I am who I am by the grace of God. You know, what that tells me is that every single thing in my life that's ever happened to me, good, bad, or ugly, God has had a purpose for shaping me and forming me, and His grace has done an amazing work to create in me, to begin that new creation work in me. We're going to get to that in just a moment. You know, through his writings, the Apostle Paul, this is one of the first ones I am highlighting today, but on many occasions he shares some of the things that he's discovered about his identity in Christ. It's really important for us to be able to study these things and take these things to heart and know these things, because this is what really helps us to anchor ourselves in God and what He's done for us. Jerry Bridges says this. He says, "This is the amazing story of God's grace. God saves us by His grace and transforms us more and more into the likeness of His Son by His grace. In all our trials and afflictions, He sustains and strengthens us by His grace. He calls us by His grace to perform our own unique function within the body of Christ. And then again, by grace, He gives to each of us the spiritual gifts necessary to fulfill our calling. And as we serve Him, He makes that service acceptable to Himself by grace, and then rewards us 100-fold by grace." Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture? What God really desires for us to know who we are, so that we can say, I am who I am by the grace of God. And that grace to me is not without effect. So what are the effects of God's grace? What does God say about me and about you as members of the body of Christ in his word? What does he say? And this is where we our identity is shaped and formed. It's in as we get to know what God has said about us in his word. You know, it's one thing that we share what we think about who we are as part of the body of Christ, but it's another thing to really know and understand what God has said in his word about who we are. So let's look at what the Spirit of God says through the scriptures about who we are as members of the body of Christ. And we're going to start with John 3:16. Okay? We've just studied this a few weeks ago, you know, in our study of the stories of Jesus. John 3:16 and then John 1:11-13. We're going to look at that too, but this passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." What does that tell us about how God sees us? Think about that. Think about that for a moment. We know that verse inside and out. That's why I started with it, right? That's scripture memory 101, right? One of the very first verses that we memorize, right? But what does it say about our identity?
Simple.
What's that?
Keeps it simple.
Keeps it simple, yes. But what does this say to us about God and how he sees us? God loves us. He loves the world. He loves each and every one of us. He was willing to send his son for us, to rescue us. We're valuable. Really valuable to him. And then he says, whoever believes, whoever receives this gift of love in Jesus will... He won't perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, he wants to restore us back to that image bearing that we lost so long ago. And this is how he did it. God loves us. And then he says in John 1:11-13, he says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. What does that tell us about who we are in God's eyes? What does that tell us? What does that tell you? You know, by receiving Jesus and believing in his name, what has God given to us? He's extended to us the right to become children of God. Children of God, born by God, not by human decision, not by coercion, but because God has revealed himself to us in Jesus. And we have looked at Jesus and we've said, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And we've received him, we've welcomed him into our hearts. And we've become what Shirley told us earlier, that child of God. What we sang about earlier, the child of God. And you know, that this truth, you know, John doesn't just tell it to us in his gospel, but he also confirms this in 1 John, his letter to us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I love this verse too, this verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Because it's two things that are very emphatic there. You know, exclamation points. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Exclamation point. And then he says, and that is what you are. That is who you are. At the core of everything, because of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. You've been taken out of the human, you've been taken out of the human family that, you know, was evil and in darkness, and you've been brought into the light of the Son he loves, and you are now and forevermore a child of God. See, it may be really, really simple and rudimentary, that understanding, but that is the anchor that holds us together in the body of Christ. You and I are children of God, brothers and sisters, family, a forever family. And that is so important for us to understand. You know, and if you want to dig deeper in this, you know, about being what it means to be part of that, you know, be a family member of God, in John, 1 John chapter 3, he just explodes all of that, okay? I'm not going to go into that whole thing today, but you know, I want to give you some in, you know, encouragement. Dive a little bit deeper into this. Take hold a little bit deeper in 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 and following. And wow, I mean, it just gives you that confidence. You know, Like John says in verse 28, he says, you know, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Why? Because we know who we are. We're his dearly loved children. So that's John. You know, I wanted to bring John into it because we've been studying John's gospel, and I wanted you to hear what John, who we were getting to know so much better through his writings, you know, what he says about who we are. But now let's look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about who we are, because he really is one of the ones who was like the builder of the church, right? And he says, In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, this is what the Apostle Paul says to us. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he is committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know, some of the things that we know, that we said we knew about ourselves already, these themes are now coming. Why? Because some have been studying and know who we are, right? And so all of us now can really just jump on this and understand that, you know, in Christ we are new creations. Old's gone. The old way of relating to God is gone. Relating to God and the world is gone. And the new way of relating to God and eternity with him has come. old gone, new come. You know, Paul is saying here that in Christ we are a new creation. The old way is gone and the new has come. So what does this new way of relating to God look like? What's the impact of this new way of relating to God on our way of being? Who are we? You know, that identity? You know, if we are a new creation, what does that new creation identity look like? Well, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, starts us understanding this in a whole new way. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now think about that for a moment. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, we when we come together on the first Sunday of the month, we remember the death of Christ. We remember the death of Christ. We remember the cross. We have crosses in our church. Why? To remind us that it was by his death that we have been given life. We have been brought from death to life. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, it's because of what Christ has done for you and for me on the cross that we have been crucified along with him. Which means we are now dead. We are now dead men and dead women walking. Okay? And take a few moments to really let that sink in. What does that really mean for you today? To be a dead person walking. What are you dead to? What are you dead to in your life? You know, this is part of our identity. We're dead to something that had an impact on us that was taking us away from God and not having any thoughts about God. What was that? Anybody? Sin. Those things that easily entangle us, the sins that destroy us, that weigh us down. Part of our identity is that we are now dead to sin. Dead to sin in Jesus. Because of his death, because he took our sins to the cross and actually not only took our sins, but we have been crucified with Christ. It's like we are on the cross with him. He's experiencing all the pain and the suffering and all the torture, but we're being set free. Yeah, I think I should hear. We should hear a few more of those. Amen. Right? We've been set free.
He allowed us to make the choice.
Yes. And by that choice, by receiving what he has done for us on the cross, we are set free. We can now live. We're people who are dead to sin, but as Paul says here, we're alive to Christ. We're allowed to God, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because now Christ lives in us. Lives in us. And therefore, the life I now live, Paul says, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our life is now in Christ who is in us, and we now have the ability to live life, live a new life, alive, walking by faith in Jesus, which makes us alive in him. Alive to all the family benefits and blessings. So let's look at some of the benefits and blessings that we're now made alive to. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, he says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is now neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there any male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Heirs according to the promise. See, part of our identity is that now we are heirs to the promises of God. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we are now heirs with him to all that God has promised. Wow. What an inheritance. Well, do you know what your inheritance is? Actually, that's a good question. Do you know what your inheritance is as part of the family of God? What is your inheritance? What are the spiritual blessings that Paul is referring to here?
Everlasting life.
Mm-hmm. Just hold that thought. Because in just a moment, okay, we're going to go to the tables this morning. Okay, we're going to go to the table this morning. And what I would like you to do is take a few moments. If you have a Bible with you, I think there's some Bibles in the pews. I didn't put this on a piece of paper this morning, but it will be up on the board, on the thing here. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. We're going to take about 10 minutes or so for you to be able to just reflect on this together as a group, pulling out and listing some of the benefits that are here as the family of God, being part of the family of God, the spiritual blessings that are ours. And before we do, though, I'm going to read this passage. And I'd like you to get in a posture right now where you can just listen. If you have your Bible open, just don't read along with me. I just want you to close your eyes and listen. Okay, as I read this. And I want you just to allow the Spirit of God, who is present here, who has, been instructing our hearts today, I'd like you just to listen to the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God begins to highlight for you, those words or those phrases that really start to stand out for you. Okay, this is a real exercise in being able to listen for the Spirit of God as the scriptures are being read to you. All right, so let's just get into that quiet place, that place where you can really hear God speak. And I'm going to read it through once, and then I'm going to read it through a second time, but that's just before we go to the table. Okay? There'll be a moment of silence afterwards so that you can just let the Spirit of God just highlight those things for you. So here's what the Apostle Paul says about our blessings in Christ. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. All right. So now, this time, as I read this passage through, I'd like you just to take notice of all the blessings that affirm who you are in Jesus. And take what also the Spirit of God was highlighting for you, and just, again, just listen one more time. But this, after I'm done, just go right back, go right into your group and start listing down all of those blessings that God has highlighted for you from this passage. And just take a few moments just to put that list together at your table, okay? Let me read this for you one more time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Now, take a few moments. We've got about 5-10 minutes. Well, take 10 minutes to do this. Work together as a table to put together all the promises of God, the blessings that are yours as a child of God. Once you have got your list, or once you've worked out your list, you can also take a few moments, if you want, to share with your group how knowing these things makes you feel or has impacted you, okay? I realize that we're still, some groups are still right in the thick of it, but, again, if you haven't had a chance to talk fully about these questions, the questions that were there as well, you're welcome to stay after the service today and continue this conversation around with your group. This today is just the beginning. Just the beginning of our journey together into the inner life of the church. The inner life of the church, to understand what it really means to be a part of the body of Christ. We've centered today on who I am, who you are in Christ. And we will continue to go deeper over the next few months. Thomas Merton has said this. He said, "Faith is the door to the full inner life of the church. A life which includes not only access to the authoritative teaching, but above all, to a deep personal experience which is at once unique and yet shared by the whole body of Christ." In the spirit of Christ. And so today, as we now make our transition into the our time of around the table, at our tables, let us just take a few moments as Lucy comes to share with us a piece of music. Just take this time to transition from our discussion, our conversation, to really, again, preparing our hearts to receive the elements today.